Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh,
what joy
they bring to me. How I
long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, again, as I open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with me, to work through me, Father, to bring us the truth of this, your word, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can receive the great instructions and the truth of the word, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. For those that is going to be taking communion with us, if you will, get your bread. We know that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So take your bread. Now get your cup. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. All right. Now this evening, we're going to be chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. I'll give you a minute to get there. All right. Here in verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He tells us here in this first verse that we've got to walk upright and that we've got to be walking in the word of Almighty God. Because it is only that way that you and I can come close to doing what he is telling us to do here, pardon me, in verse 1. And you hear so many tell you that you can't live your life without sin. Everybody just got to sin and all that. But that is not so. And that is not Bible. No, I know there's verses in here that states that, but you see, they take that one verse, and they take it out of context instead of bringing the rest of it with it to what it says. And they add to that, and they'll take a few things away to make it say what they want it to say, which is to bring everything about so that they can live whatever way they want to live. And most of that is away from God and his word and his church. It's getting harder all the time to get people to come in to church, even online, because they don't want to take the time up for that and take that time away from the things of this world that they want to do and to accomplish. And they're walking further and further and further away from the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. Now, here in verse 2, says, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. You see, where he's telling them to receive them, the Bible definition of separation has both a negative and a positive side. The negative expressed is that the believer abstains from spiritual fellowship with all who are opposed to God. But the positive side is that the believer is open to all who are truly the children of God. And Paul places himself in this category. Now, as we go on here, in 3, he says, I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Paul is wanting to live and to die with them. He really loves them. Now, 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glory of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. He's really letting them know his feelings there in verse 4. Now he's holding them within himself and those that are with him. 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. 6. Nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down comforteth us by the coming of Titus. Now, he's talking here about the coming of Titus, refers to his arrival from Corinth with the news that the church had accepted Paul's letter, this letter that we are reading now. Titus had taken it. He's the one that carried it to the church there in Corinth. Now, he's joining back with Paul and letting him know that they had received it. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. And you see, he's letting them know that he's always rejoicing with and for them when he hears the good news of their faith and their work of God. Now, 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle has made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now, he knows that he had gotten on to him pretty heavy, because he had been speaking to them in this letter very boldly. Now, evidently he's not talking about this letter here of 2 Corinthians, he's talking about that first one. Now, 9. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. You see, that's what he's rejoicing over, is because they had taken what he said and it had brought them to repentance. Whatever he had wrote made them sorry, but that their sorrow turned to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. The sorrow of the world worketh death. We know that he was speaking here about their repentance. And he was rejoicing because it had brought sorrow to them, but that sorrow led them to repent of whatever it was that was bothering them and Paul. Now, Paul is happy for them and rejoicing for and with them. 11. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vermin, desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. He's not saying here exactly what it was. He's letting us know here in 11 all the different things that it was bringing about in and with them. Now, which also lets you and I know that we need to always be looking within ourselves by the Word of God to see if any of these things within us has not been taken care of. Because if there is, then we need to repent of that and get it cleared up so that we can be ready whenever God will call us, whether it be as individuals or whether it be as the church. And the catching away, as the word calls it. In other words, we call it today the wreck. Now, it's all still the same. It's all Jesus coming for his church and bringing this church age to an end. These are things that we need on our hearts, along with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because you see, if we are to make heaven our home, they are our life. Now, Twelve. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for this cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. This thing he's talking to them about that he had wrote in that first epistle, which he's not giving us here. He wrote it because they cared to them in the sight of God. And that's what he was wanting them to know. And he was wanting them to be sure they were right also in the sight of God. Now, 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. They had refreshed Titus. In other words, when he left them and went back and got with Paul, he evidently was filled with joy and happiness for them and was in good shape. And Paul was letting them know that too was something that he was having joy about. 14. For if I had boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. Now you see, he's not talking about boasting on themselves, but he is boasting about the things in which he had made before Titus, and knowing that everything is found a, what he has been dealing with now is now established as truth to them and also to he and those with him. 15. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, while he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. But because he was bringing them the truth from Paul, and he found them being in obedience, and it moved him to, it moved Titus also. Now, 16. Paul says, I rejoice, therefore, that I have been in you in all things. How great it is when we know that those that are with us, especially those that are in the ministry with us, when we know they are all walking in obedience and by the love of Almighty God and in His Word, it brings joy to us in our hearts, and it gives us a confidence in you all, and so that we can know and believe that you are walking upright in the sight of Almighty God, and that you are that child that belongs to Him, and you are serving and doing the things according to His will and His way, and going on walking in righteousness, making heaven your home when you step out of this life and into the next. And may God richly bless and speak to each and every one of you. And we have now come to the end of chapter 7. God willing, in the morning, we can get into chapter 8 and see what God has for us there. We know there's something to do, because all of God's Word is good. Keep each other in your prayer. We all need it. As you hear my voice, you know I stand in need of prayer. I'm praying about it, and I need your prayers. And I also pray for you. But the closer you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the more you walk in His Word, the more and harder Satan is going to try to drag you away from Him. And he will do anything he can to keep you from sharing what you have with someone else. As we stop here for the evening, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, I thank you for this word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for those that comes in and listens to your word, Father, with us. It takes part in this ministry and will pray for us and with us. And Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for peace for them And because as of now, they don't have peace. And Father, I pray also that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, it's filled with so much evil. As I pray for it, Father, I'm praying also that those that are sitting in offices in high places in our government that has brought this evil upon us, even into our schools, be removed, Father, from office and to be replaced with those that love you and love the Lord Jesus, loves your church, your people, and this land, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back on the foundation which it was on. And Father, that foundation is your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we prepare to separate now for the evening, I pray those in my heart, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy and Tom and Jacob, Bobby and Millie, James Taylor, Sue Branch, Daryl and Debbie, Courtney and Shane, Chris and Sam and that little family, Father. For Kenny Powers' mother, Bobby. For his grandmother. Father, for Dennis' family, his wife and all, and for each one of our families. We all have family members, Father, that are not walking in light, they're walking in darkness. And may the Holy Spirit work within our families and help to bring them from darkness to light, in that light being the Lord Jesus. And my wife, Lord, you know what put her where she is. It was not her doing. Now, Father, for each and every one of us, keep us through this evening and this night and help us safe. Bring us back together again from morning to 10 a.m., Father, and back into your word. And I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Good God, he'll walk with you. Have a good one.